Amen. We can almost just dismiss church right now, but we're not going to. We're not going to. I don't need to introduce Pastor Johnson. I do want to mention something, though. Pastor Johnson has another ministry called Strength for Life. If you want to follow that, they're on multiple radio stations across the United States as well as television channels, and they have a YouTube channel. Now, if you're going to look it up, look up Strength for Life Pensacola. Okay, if you just look up Strength for Life, you're going to get all kinds of muscle channels that feature me, as a matter of fact. No, just kidding. But you're going to get all, so look up Strength for Life Pensacola. We use their publications here in our church. They're available. Some of them are in our church lobby. And there are a lot of good things. You can subscribe to YouTube. There's going to be is a podcast tomorrow? Okay, there's a YouTube podcast that comes out tomorrow, Pastor Johnson just told me, and it features me preaching at Pensacola, right?
Yeah.
At the college, okay? So you got permission for that from them, right?
They gave it to me.
Okay, very good. The words "they gave it to me" doesn't necessarily convey permission. Okay, yeah, okay, well, whatever. But tune into that. Really, seriously, it'll be a blessing. Something challenging. Isn't it on a daily basis, or how often?
On YouTube, we publish. Oh, that's neat. They turned on the mic.
Yeah.
Three YouTube publications a week. So
three
Mondays,
week.
Thursdays, and Saturdays.
So it'll be a real blessing to you. I'd encourage you. Pastor Johnson,
yes.
You come.
Thank you, preacher. Thank you. Well, it has been a joy for sure for me to be able to be here and to fellowship one with another. I so appreciate Pastor Wall. I see him back in the sound booth, but appreciate just how he's worked behind the scenes to make today happen as you as a church have honored Pastor Monty, Pastor and Mrs. Monty for the 25 years. I see the children are dismissed to the junior church area at this time. Thank you, Pastor Wall, for the invitation. I also want to say publicly how much I appreciate the Krupkas, Rob and Wendy, for having us over last night. The Montys were invited over, and I was the tag-along, but I benefited from amazing food. Wendy is terrific as a cook, and just appreciated their hospitality. We got to hang out with Jimmy and Vicky Flowers as well. And then I just enjoyed the day, and so just the spirit of the enthusiasm with which you worship the Lord. I appreciate that so much. The enthusiastic congregational singing. Pastor Ryan led us in tonight. And then Pastor Ogden this morning and the special music. And one thing that's unique to your church is the idea of instrumental worship. You know, where you just have a time set aside and worship the Lord through instruments. That was so beautifully done, and I haven't seen that in other places, so I just appreciate that. It's obviously very biblical. But overall, the spirit of this church is an exciting spirit, an excellent spirit, and the Lord has blessed for the 25 years that the Montys have been here, but I anticipate the Lord's continued blessing on this place. Just based on the wonderful spirit and your love for your pastor and your love for our Lord. And so I commend you in these areas. And again, just count it a privilege to be here with you today. Hey, so I invite you to take the Word of God and turn, please, to Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 18, if you would. Proverbs 18. And I would like us to consider the content of verse number 14. And what we'll do is we'll read it responsively. And so if you're able, would you stand, please, out of respect for the reading of God's Word, Proverbs chapter 18. And we'll look together at verse number 14. And what I'd like to do is just read it, and then you could respond by reading that same verse. And so if you'd read it out loud after I read it individually. Okay, Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 14. The Bible says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" Would you read verse 14?
"The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?"
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this passage. And Lord, I do pray that you would help me to be an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to these your people, that you might heal the wounded spirits that may exist in this place. And so, Father, please do that for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated, if you would. So it's interesting the question that the text poses. The conclusion of verse number 14 asks about a wounded spirit. Who can bear a wounded spirit? And I mentioned this morning that the idea of a broken body is connected to a wounded spirit. And we see that from this verse. Notice what it says again in Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. The idea of infirmity there is a reference to that which is physical. So get this mental picture with me for just a moment, if you would. You think of athletics, maybe. Sometimes you've observed basketball or football games or some kind of pro sports, and you see an athlete who is wounded. Injured in the course of play, and something within him, in spite of the injury, enables him to rise and maybe pursue the end zone. And later, the news comes out that could have been your favorite player, maybe, was injured to this extent, and people marvel at his ability to push through and to persevere, at least to get that touchdown or to dunk that basketball or whatever. The idea in the first part of this verse is communicating that the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, at least for a little while. Not only in the athletic world, but maybe in the military world. We live in a military town in Pensacola, Florida, it is in that setting where you may hear stories from men and women that serve our country. Maybe some of you experienced something like this, where you were wounded physically in battle, or one of your comrades was wounded. And for the sake of the greater cause, in spite of the wound to the leg and the blood, and in the moment of the wound collapsing, but in spite of all that, rising. Again, for the sake of the greater cause, for the sake of the brotherhood, and rising in spite of the wound to carry on in the battle. I mean, that's what's in view in verse number 14, that what is it that causes that athlete to continue to pursue the end zone? What is it that causes that soldier to rise even though he is wounded with an infirmity? Well, it's the spirit of a man. But what if not only is he physically wounded, but what if your spirit is wounded as well? I mean, a wounded spirit, who can bear? The answer to the rhetorical question is, no one can. It's a very serious condition to face. And so this evening, as we unpack this idea of a wounded spirit, I want us to consider several ideas, three really. We will consider, if you're a note taker, you can jot these ideas down. We'll consider what causes a wounded spirit. I'll give you several causes. And then secondly, we'll consider the consequences that come from a wounded spirit. And then thirdly, what's the cure for a wounded spirit? I would have regret if I didn't offer a cure this evening. And so we want to give you God's cure for a wounded spirit. So it's the causes, the consequences, and the cure to a wounded spirit. First of all, consider with me, please, the causes for a wounded spirit. They are various, for sure. I'm going to give you three of them. We're going to see from the Word of God that sin often causes a wounded spirit. And then unhealthy relationships can cause a wounded spirit. And then even war. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a moment. Some of you think, are you talking about my marriage? No, I'm talking about literal war can cause a wounded spirit. So just like a physical break or a physical infirmity, so it is true of a kind of human spirit. That there can be various types of wounds. And these wounds or fractures to your spirit sometimes are self-induced. And then in other situations, they're others-induced. Sometimes your spirit is wounded and it was within your control to avoid it and you didn't. And then other times your spirit is wounded from something that was completely beyond your control that you could not have avoided and that you never saw coming. Some wounds are self-induced and some are others-induced. Some wounds are caused by circumstances that we've created, while other wounds are caused by outside circumstances that we never anticipated. Sin, unhealthy relationships, and war are very typical causes. So consider with me the idea of sin in relationship to what causes a wounded spirit. If you take a Strong's Concordance, and understand I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit when I talk about a wounded spirit. I'm talking about the spirit within a human kind of spirit. And if you take that Strong's Concordance and you look up this word spirit, it is listed more times than in any other chapter. It's listed in Psalm 51. And it's in Psalm 51 where David is moved by the Spirit of God to pen inspired words in relationship to a confession over sin. You may recollect it's the sin of adultery with Bathsheba and sending Uriah to the front line of the battle, the sin of adultery and the sin of murder. And what does he do in that confession psalm? Well, it's clear that he has a wounded spirit. It's wounded specifically over guilt. In Psalm 51, David reveals that he feels broken on the inside. After all, it's in verse number 8 where he says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." And it's not a physical broken bone to which he refers. He's talking about his spirit being fractured based on his own willful choice to be involved in sin. Make me to hear joy and gladness. He's saying, I am mentally and emotionally broken over my sin. And that's exactly what it is. As far as I have a Hebrew-Greek study Bible. And in preparation for this, I looked up the word spirit here in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. And according to this Hebrew-Greek study Bible, the idea of a spirit has to do with your mental disposition. It is the rational essence of who you are. When David says, make me to hear joy and gladness, you know, he's talking about who he is emotionally, you know, who he is mentally and emotionally, who he is in the very corridors of his heart. Because emotionally he is drained over his sin. He no longer has joy. He no longer has gladness. And he feels broken on the inside. He feels like his spirit has been wounded. He's describing personal collapse because of the pain of guilt. It's in verse number 10 where he prays, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." And do you know the rest of it? Would you say it out loud? "And renew." Yeah, that's what he's after. And then in verse 17 of Psalm 51, he acknowledges that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. "And a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." What David is saying over his sin is, "God, I'm broken, and you're the only one that can heal me. My spirit is wounded." So sometimes it's sin, sometimes it's self-induced, but other times our spirits are wounded because of unhealthy relationships. I mean, others have caused the wound. And to give you some examples, I grew up in a broken home. The Monties were wonderful to me to allow me to live in their house when I was 15 years old. My biological dad left us when I was 2, and he left for jail. And my stepdad, who came into my life, left when I was 15, and he also left for jail. Both men very abusive, both men volatile and violent, and just so thankful for a loving youth pastor. Mark Monty was my youth pastor at the time. And just the sacrifices that he and Kelly made to receive me into their home. And some of you understand these things on a far deeper or greater level than I ever have. But a broken home often raises children with broken spirits. We're talking about unhealthy relationships. And please understand that good parenting breaks the will of a child, but it doesn't break the spirit of a child. If you're a good parent, yeah, you want your child's will to be submitted to the will of their mother and their father. My wife and I like to go to a restaurant in Pensacola called Hotheads. It's right down the road from our church. It's convenient. It's right there, you know. So we were in the Hotheads the other day. My sons, we have three teenage sons. They were off doing things that teenage sons do. I don't know, but it was just my wife and I that day. And we're sitting in the Hotheads and we're enjoying our bowl of goodness, okay? And here the door opens and in comes a man with, I think, three daughters. And this is an adult man, maybe, you know, late 20s, early 30s. And then he's got these three girls. And these three girls are doing whatever they want in the Hotheads. I mean, he's giving them directives. He brings them in and puts them in a booth and he says, sit down. And he's going to go order all their food and they do not sit down. Instead, they're up and they're around and they're toddlers, you know, 3, 4, maybe years old, something like that. And he gives them directives now across the restaurant. So it's like even if we want to avoid paying attention to it, we can't. We're paying attention. And he's saying, sit down. And they're saying, we don't want to, you know, and just doing whatever they want. I mean, clearly their will was not submitted to the will of their father. You want to break the will of your child, but you do not want to break their spirit. Because lasting consequences can ensue. I mean, violent parents, verbally abusive parents leave scars on their child's spirit. And it wasn't your doing, but you're wounded in your spirit. Your spirit is scarred. There were times for me as a child where I not only took lashes on my body, but I took lashes on my spirit. What causes a wounded spirit? Sin does. Unhealthy relationships do. Another example of an unhealthy relationship is maybe some of the dysfunction that accompanies marriage from time to time. I mean, disloyalty or infidelity, unfaithfulness in marriage, it not only destroys the relationship, but it can fracture the spirit of the one betrayed. I mean, after all, you shared your life with that person. You shared your heart with that person. You shared your secrets with that individual. And they just trampled all over your trust. And your spirit is wounded. Maybe you're parents and you have wayward children. And you were good and loving parents as much as a finite parent can be. You invested in them financially and spiritually, and both mother and father invested in them relationally. And that child becomes an adult and begins walking in the lies of the world. And anytime you think of that child, you feel that pain in your spirit. Their waywardness has affected the spirit of their parents. Their waywardness has caused you to have a wound. So it's not only sin, self-induced. It's not only sometimes unhealthy relationships, others-induced. But even a cause is war. War. I mean, seeing excessive violence can wound a spirit. It can break a man. And again, we're in a military town in Pensacola, and we have people, and there's one individual I've been counseling every Thursday for the last almost 3 months who shares stories of what he has seen in the battlefield and specific instructions he was given that led to the death of other individuals and the night terrors that accompany his wounded spirit. And we meet and dialogue and pray and look at Scripture together. And he is the one that told me that for most soldiers, it's not as much them seeing the enemy die, but it's about seeing their fellow soldiers writhing in pain. Those are things that wound their spirit. Mental images that they're never going to forget and that create deep wounds. So these are many of the causes of a wounded spirit, a selective list, not a comprehensive list. But for sake of time, consider with me, secondly, the consequences that come as a result of these causes. What are the consequences? Well, if it's self-induced and what caused your spirit to be wounded is sin, then the consequence is death. After all, we were just in Psalm 51. I just referred to it several times. And David's self-induced sin, the consequence of his sin certainly was death. After all, the baby that he and Uriah had together, the baby died. And Uriah the Hittite died. You read about that in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. And after all, in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. The consequences that come from self-induced wounded spirit from sin is death, in a word. But what then about the idea of unhealthy relationships? If your spirit has been wounded, I know some things about you. And you know some things about me. I mean, it's very likely that if your spirit has been wounded because of an unhealthy marriage, it's very likely that you're insecure in your marriage relationships. Maybe you've found a way to navigate it and kind of forgive it, but you have a constant, abiding sense of insecurity. And maybe you have insecurity in your heart. One of the things that Pastor Monty did for me that to this day I have a debt to him for is he helped my spirit heal my wounded spirit when I was a kid. And specifically, one of the things he did for me was he talked strength into me. You know, especially children in their formative years, you have a huge impact over them just based on what you're saying to them. You know, sometimes parents will say in front of their child, "Well, my child is just shy." And in those moments, the child is hearing that and they're like, "Yeah, I guess I'm just shy." Or, "My child's just not very good at school, not very good at academics." And the child processes, "Yeah, I guess I'm just not very good at school." And you just end up reinforcing weaknesses. What Pastor Monty did for me on many occasions is speak strength into me. I said this morning I wouldn't be in ministry today if it wasn't for Mark and Kelly Monty. And speak positivity into me. I have here in the pulpit a couple books I brought from Pensacola with me. This is G. Campbell Morgan's book, Pulpit Legends. Mark Monty gave me this in 1995. Now, I'll be honest, I have never read this book. Except one page. And he wrote in here a note to me. Christmas of 1995. And he said to James Johnson, "May God richly bless you as you study His Word. God has given you truly unique talents that I know He will use for His glory. Remember the Bible and the Bible alone. It is your final authority. Never stray from the Bible." He said, "God is going to use you greatly. Stay close to Him. Your friend, Pastor Mark Monty," Psalm 37, 3 through 9. And then a few Christmases later, Monty gave me this little journal. And he wrote inside another note. I've used the journal, by the way. As opposed to the G. Campbell Morgan book. But he said, "Dear James, thank you so much for your friendship. I cannot express how much I appreciate your loyalty. You have been a great blessing in my life, and you have taught me a lot about the important things in life." He said, "I'm really proud." He underlined it for me. "I'm really proud of you. Keep on serving the Lord. I love you, preacher." And then he put Mark Monty, Psalm 37, 3 through 5. I mean, it's a way to help somebody's spirit heal from insecurity, or from a sense of purposelessness in one's life, or a sense of just the haunting that comes from these unhealthy relationships. Not only these things, but often if your spirit has been wounded, you find that you have weakness relationally. You distrust maybe your parents, or you distrust your spouse, or you're concerned for that wayward son or daughter, and you live with a fretful heart in spite of what Psalm 37 says in relationship to prohibiting fretting. Or maybe a consequence is bitterness. And you've got this root of bitterness, as the writer of the Hebrews says, that just keeps springing up. And it manifests itself through tears, even years and decades later. The spirit has been so deeply wounded that it's not just tears, but sometimes it's trembling. And the wounded spirit has physical indicators. Maybe the cause was not just sin, the cause not just unhealthy relationships, the cause was war. What's the consequence that comes if the cause is war? Well, sometimes it's anger. And not righteous anger. No, it's wicked anger. It's an aggression that reflects only a modicum of what the military man or woman actually witnessed during battle. But it's anger that is sometimes directed at the people that we love the most. And I mean genuinely love the most. And yet, they are witnesses to that kind of anger. And I've alluded already to night terrors, sleepless nights. Sometimes that's the consequence of a wounded spirit. And if left undressed, these nightmares exist for decades. And there is a wound that is deep, and it is an emotional scar, maybe even on the brain. All right, so the causes are many, and because of those causes come consequences. So I want to now get to the antidote, and that is the cure. What is the cure for a wounded spirit? Well, this morning I talked about a broken body, and our text brings up the idea of physical infirmity. And so to offer a cure for a wounded spirit, I want to illustrate it in a physical sense. Like if you have a physical break, what's the first thing you do? You go to the hospital with a physical break. What's the first thing they're going to say to you? They're going to say, "Can I see your insurance card, please?" But really, once they get to actually trying to help you, the first thing that they're typically going to do, if you have maybe a fracture in your arm, is they're going to reset it. What I'm saying to you is what you need to do if you have a wounded spirit is the cure, the first part of the cure, is you reset it. That's exactly what Psalm 51 is. It's a reset. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, he says. It's a confession. It's a reset. If you are looking for a cure for your wounded spirit, it starts with the reset. What's the next thing they do? Often, if you go to a medical professional for help, you've got a physical break, they'll reset it, they'll put it right back into place, but then very likely they'll isolate it. They'll isolate it from movement. After all, they want it to heal. Maybe if it's an arm, they'll put it in a sling for the sake of just limiting the mobility, giving it time to recover. And I suggest that that's the idea taught to us in Isaiah 26, verse number 3, where the Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." I mean, you've got the night terrors and you've got the bitterness and you've got the haunting and you are trying to forget these things, but you just can't. It's as if there's an absence of peace. And what I'm saying is you may first need to reset your spirit, but then you isolate your spirit in pursuit of that perfect peace, because thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. It's the idea of isolated. It's like, stay right there. Don't go anywhere. Stay on God. In other words, I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to surround myself with healthy relationships so that I can heal. I'm going to focus on being filled with God's Spirit so that my spirit can heal. I'm going to focus on that perfect peace which can give me my sleep back. And by the way, Pastor Monty and I were talking several months back about nightmares, and he gave me some interesting ideas. I jotted these down. But Dr. Monty, and I reference his doctorate right now so that you view this as authoritative, okay? Dr. Monty said that nightmares are a form of cleansing. A lot of people get up from nightmares and all they want to do is talk about it maybe to their spouse or to their kids and kind of relive it. What Monty said is that nightmares are a form of cleansing. Dreams, he said, are necessary for the reorganization of the mind. And in that sense, nightmares and dreams can be a good thing, because they are the mind detoxing. And so Pastor Monty said, don't obsess over nightmares. Don't obsess over dreams that bother you. And because if you do, you're bound to repeat them. So the point is, isolate your mind. Understand what's happening when you're going through these types of nightmares. Isolate your mind on God. Understand it's just a detox. Affix your mind on God. Stay your mind on Him. So what's the cure? Reset it and isolate it and then protect it. That's how you heal a wounded spirit. You protect it. And again, to illustrate it with the broken bone idea. They'll reset it, and then they will prevent it from moving. They'll isolate it, and then maybe depending on the fracture, they'll put it in a cast. And that way, if people bump into you, it's not going to be re-injured. What I'm saying is you need to protect your spirit if you're trying to heal. And the Bible gives us that idea over and over and over in Scripture. You find words like be sober and be vigilant. It's the idea of watchful. In other words, you say, I'm going to protect my spirit and I'm going to recruit my loved ones to help me do that. And practically, what that means is I'm not going to consume any content that promotes sin or showcases broken relationships that will then promote the revisiting of some of my brokenness. No, I'm not going to watch excessive violence because, after all, those things are just going to remind me of my wounds. As you stay your mind on God, maybe if you're in a wounded spirit situation, you would visit Psalm 1 often. You know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Did you hear that progression? You know, walketh not, I'm walking. But then standing in the way of sinners. And then sitting in the seat of the scornful, it's like you see the sin that you're tempted to be involved in and you're walking, but then it's so alluring, you stand and observe. And then it's so alluring, you sit. And it's as if you're indulging in it all. No, you don't need to do such things. You need to instead be the blessed man who deliberately is protecting your wounded spirit so that you can be like that tree, strong, planted by the rivers of water. Reset your wounded spirit, isolate your wounded spirit, protect your wounded spirit, all for the sake of using your spirit. I mean, that's the whole point of the mending the physical malady. Do those things so that one day you can function again. Use it. If you reset it and isolate it and protect it, you'll be able eventually to use it. The previously fractured spirit has healed. And it can take pressure again. So listen, if I didn't tell people of the broken home circumstance I grew up in, people looking at me, you would never know. My church family, I learned lessons through all that stuff, so I share those lessons with our people by way of testimony. But if I didn't share those lessons and I didn't rehearse some of that, you wouldn't know these things. I think I mentioned this morning, maybe in Sunday school, I had a motorcycle accident. So not just a wounded spirit, you know, in that sense, but physically I have scars and I had road rash all over my body. I mean, my bladder shut down for 18 days. I mean, just all kinds of like physical malady stuff. And if I didn't tell you, you look at me and you wouldn't think that. And we all have our own stories. What I'm saying is I've healed from the wounded spirit stuff from my childhood. And people like Mark and Kelly Monty helped me do that. And I have healed on a physical level from the effects of a motorcycle accident. And so just like physically you can heal, spiritually, the Bible gives us these antidotes. So reset it and isolate it and protect it so that the previously fractured spirit can heal. Your spirit then can become sound. It can become healthy. Your spirit can love again. Your spirit can trust again. It can serve again. It can even battle again. Battle for the souls of others. Battle for the lost. Battle for the cause of Christ. The condition of a wounded spirit doesn't have to be permanent. So this morning I ended with the familiar phrase, after talking about the broken body, I ended with the idea that Jesus said about His body that it was broken for us. And tonight I want to end in a similar way. You know, among Jesus' last words on the cross, He referenced His spirit. And for Him to say, as He did, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. You understand that's a fulfillment of Psalm 31. It's a fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy. So hundreds of years previous to Jesus uttering those famous words on the cross, it was predicted that He would say that. And in my Hebrew Greek study Bible, to which I alluded earlier, I found it very interesting that the same word for spirit here in Proverbs 18:14 is the exact same word in Psalm 31 that Jesus was predicted to say. When He says, recorded in Luke 23:46, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And it says in Luke 23, and having said thus, He gave up the ghost. I think what Jesus is saying or what he's implying there is, yes, they broke my body, but Father, they also wounded my spirit. And what's interesting is, just like we can heal and we can serve again, Jesus is serving even today. After all, he's at the right hand of God the Father, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us, in spite of his broken body and in spite of his wounded spirit. Right now, he's praying for us. That's the idea of making intercession for us. And John 14 tells us he's preparing mansions for us. And so, Proverbs 18:14 says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear?" And again, the answer is, no one can without Jesus' help. And maybe the invitation for you this evening is that you would come and pray like David, "Renew a right spirit within me." Or come and pray like Jesus, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Would you stand with me, please? And let's pray together as you're standing. So, Father, I thank you for this text. Thank you for the profitability of it. Father, as Christians, we are so blessed to not have to navigate this world just all on our own, just winging it. No, we have this light and this lamp that guides us and directs us. And so, Father, even in moments of physical frailty or moments of spiritual dilemma, you are there, and your word teaches us these many things. So, Father, I pray that as a result of our reflection and our study of your word, I pray that these, your people, would be strengthened, and that each of us would be strengthened for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.